scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, this evening we have Melody Cederstrom with us, and Melody helps to support Radio Liberty, but we like to talk to her on a regular basis because, well, there are all sorts of exciting things and dangerous and really frightening things that are going on. In fact, in the latest issue of The Forecaster, written by Bob Chapman, and I know Melody reads this as well as do I, he says this: there's something going on in European banking that we do not know about. A number of banks don't want to clear U.S. checks because they're worried about getting paid. They're putting 60-day holds on U.S. checks. Some banks are refusing checks for deposit, and some even are refusing cashier's checks for deposit. That includes Swiss banks as well. When gold is bought for clients at European banks, more often than not, the bank buys a futures contract rather than accepting physical delivery. So, in the future, when Europeans call for the delivery of the gold that they've purchased, they may not get it. What this suggests to me is that the Europeans are thinking there's something serious is going to happen to the American financial system. Now, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm simply telling you what we are getting from places around the world. As you know, America is simply living on borrowed money. At one time, we were the greatest creditor nation in the world. Today, we're the greatest debtor nation in the world. And everything that the Bush administration is doing appears to be aimed at destroying the financial infrastructure of our country. Our trade deficit for last year was $727 billion, that is B, billion dollars. That's almost three-quarters of $1 trillion trade deficit last year. And, of course, so we have a massive trade deficit again this coming year. Our federal debt is up, and the government, the president has asked for some $2.7 trillion for the budget. And then he asks off budget for another couple of $100 billion or a Katrina relief and for the continuing this senseless war in the Middle East. And, of course, he hasn't even talked about what it's going to cost when we go to war with Iran and Syria, because that's only a short time away. And more and more Americans are going to die, and my concern is we are going to inflame the whole Islamic world, and they're already very much into the radical Islamic camp. We're driving them there with everything we do. If you wanted to try to inflame the anger and hatred of the Muslims, you couldn't do a better job than the Bush administration is doing now, and we have to ask ourselves why. We know the Syrians are moving their money out of dollars into euro. We know that the Iranians are moving all of their holdings out of Europe because they anticipate the war and they don't want to have them frozen. And Melody, what do you make of what's going on?
I make of it as people need to buy gold because it's a scenario that you just mentioned, the facts that you just mentioned of the various things that are occurring around the world and in this country. There's some very serious repercussions that we're going to have to deal with, and it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And of course, we never know the timeline of these things and when they actually will happen, but these situations will have to be addressed. They just don't go away.
And, of course, the thing, I've been following things for well over 44 years now. I've never seen a time when European banks wouldn't take checks, America. Well, I guess this evening, Melody Cederstrom, we're really talking about what's going on in the world of finance. And, of course, you can't separate the world of finance from the geopolitics of what's taking place, as our government seems to be intent upon plunging us into an ever larger war in the Middle East. It was really fascinating this last week. There was an article in the New York Times. Now, I always read the New York Times with great skepticism. I even count the pages. I don't even trust the pages, but occasionally they'll put in a true article, and there was a small article there about an American general who's resigned from the military now, and he's writing a book. He was the man who, after Paul Bremer had gone over and disbanded the Iraqi army and disbanded the Iraqi police force and disbanded the Iraqi police civil service to create the chaos so that we could justify staying there, this general was assigned the job of building a new Iraqi army. They gave him six men to build an army for a nation of 25 million people. Well, eventually he did get some more men. He was supposed to have 250, but he never had just about half that many, and they were only there for a few months. And how do you build an army without, you know, a strong cadre of support and trainers? And you wonder why we can't get the situation where we can actually pull our men out and turn things over to the Iraqi army. If you read this article, and we'd be glad to send it to any of you who'd like it, it's very obvious that everything possible was done to block the building of an Iraqi army to take over control of the country so we could pull our troops out. And everything was done to create chaos. And why would you do something like that? And of course, this is costing us a tremendous amount of money, but it's costing us the lives of an awful lot of American boys. And almost 30% of the young men and women who return from Iraq are ill within 3 months of some unknown disease. Well, Melody, what do you make about what's happening as far as the economy is concerned?
Well, you know, the U.S. now spends as much on defense as the rest of the world combined. And you don't spend that kind of money if you're not planning on using it. And what's amazing is, I don't know, not to too many people that I speak with, but, you know, 50% of the Americans out there, they favor war. They agree that Iraq was based on lies, but yet when you talk about Iran and you talk about their putting together the nuclear bombs and so forth, they believe that military action is called for, and it is totally mind-boggling.
Hold that thought right there. Well, Melody was just saying that she talks to people across America, even though most Americans know that the president did not tell us the truth, that it was totally contrived reasons for going into Iraq, why an awful lot of people support the war in Iraq. And then she was saying that even though they know that they lied to get us into Iraq, and they don't like to hear the idea that the president lied, but he certainly didn't tell the truth. He just got bad advice from the intelligence agencies. It was those guys' fault, not mine. And at least that's the message we get. But now we're talking about going to war with Iran and with Syria. And Melody, are people really, you know, in favor of going to war? Did they realize the implications that there could be attacks on American cities in reprisal? That there are certainly cells of Iranians who have been here for 10, 20, 30 years waiting for a time like this? I mean, does anybody have an idea, well, what happened in a war if it were to come to our shores? Is anybody concerned? Or is it all right to kill Arabs, but we wouldn't want to, of course, have any inconvenience here?
That's what the poll indicated, and the poll was done about approximately 3 weeks ago. And, you know, they favored sanctions, and they favored military force if necessary. And I don't think the people really realize, because again, you have to remember where these, you know, 57% of the people get their news. I mean, they do get their news from mainstream, so they don't have a clear understanding of what can happen, what will happen when we go to war. And but you know, even while we do this with Iraq and Iran, there's the other countries, they're taking advantage of the situation. You know, I mean, we're basically paying to keep the world in order, and then you have all the other countries, Asia, China, that will step up their power with all the additional money that they've been able to obtain with the free trade. You know, we have China, you know, they're ready to, you know, get going into the auto industry. Speaking of New York Times, you know, where China plans to buy an engine plant in Brazil and then take it apart piece by piece and ship it to China and put it back together again. And tonight I just read where they closed the first... I mean, the whole world is totally out of control. It's out of balance. They closed the first General Motors plant out of the 12 that will be closed. They closed the first one today down in Oklahoma City. And there was, I guess there was, the Oklahoma City plant employed 2,400 people, and 2,200 were hourly and 200 were salaried. And but economists said that as many as 7,500 jobs could be affected, including those at GM suppliers and secondary jobs like hotel and restaurant workers. Naturally, when you have layoffs, you always have the multiplier effect, and usually that is about three times of the number of people that are unemployed. So.
And, Chris, people must understand that this is not happening by accident. It's happening by intent. They knew exactly what was going to happen when they took down our tariff barriers. The whole idea was we were going to raise the living standards of the average American worker to that of the Bolivian peasant and the Chinese peasant. That's what it's all about. When you understand that, it all makes sense. That's why they're not trying to close our southern border. Because, of course, they don't believe in American sovereignty. They want to destroy American sovereignty. They want to merge us with Mexico and Canada and then the rest of the Western Hemisphere. But they can't tell the American people that. So they say, oh, gee, isn't it terrible what's happening? But we're going to get these people retrained for other high-paying jobs. Ladies and gentlemen, the high-paying jobs they're going to get are going to be working at McDonald's or, doing gardening work on an hourly basis. They just are not the jobs. We've lost almost 3 million industrial jobs since George Bush came in. You hear about all these jobs they're creating? Look and see what they are. Waitress, bartender, working in the health industry. They're not creating manufacturing jobs. I think they created some 11,000 manufacturing jobs here last month. But these are not jobs that are good-paying jobs. And so many of the manufacturing jobs we're having now, even if you still have a job, they have a plan program to force you to accept a lower wage and lower benefits. When you talk to people, Melody, are they aware of what's going on? Or do they think it's just not happening by accident, like in a vacuum, and that our courageous leaders just don't know what to do about it?
You know what, Dr. Stan? They don't get it. They just don't. Get it. I think whether they're just in total denial, because if you accept the situations and the problems that we're going to have to face, you know, naturally they're going to have to make some changes in their lifestyle. They're going to have to get out of debt, which we know that's an impossibility for many of them because they're so far into debt. And so they really don't have an alternative. So I think they just face it with denial. Expect, we're this great country and we'll always, we will continue to be so. And, I think they, they have selective hearing. And, they only hear what they want to hear. And they only hear what, allows them to get away with personally, whether it be jobs, whether it be, their debt, whether it be, our finances, this country, war, whatever. They definitely have selective hearing. You had mentioned, the job growth over the last 5 years is the weakest on record. The U.S. economy came up with more than 7 million jobs short of keeping up with the population growth. And I believe Mr. Chapman also touched on this, and there was another article that I have by Paul Craig Roberts out of the Baltimore Chronicle, and he just lists the shortage. From communications equipment lost 43% of its workforce, the semiconductors, the electronic components. He just broke it down where all these different sectors have lost huge percentages. And it's more, he describes it as more of nuking the economy. And that Americans should forget Iran and start worrying about the jobs and the financial situation in this country, because that we need to worry more about this than worry about those so-called terrorists that we're told about on a daily basis.
And I think, really, I read that same article. He was pointing out how we're losing our jobs in textiles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and of course, what we're doing is we're losing our jobs in electronics in this country. We're losing a lot of the jobs, certainly this telephone answering service. And how often do you get on the telephone and somebody, of course, has that strong Indian accent? So many of our answering jobs are actually taking place in India. In fact, I had some trouble with my monitor, for my computer monitor the other day. I had a guarantee on. I called in. I got this very nice person, but obviously he was Indian. And really what was so interesting, my monitor was still under guarantee. They rather than send somebody out to fix it, they're just going to give me a new monitor.
Mm.
But, you know, he was able to arrange all of this from the Calcutta or New Delhi or wherever he was. And if you look and see what's happening, the Indian economy is booming. You know, their stock market was up 10% this last year. They're the fourth largest economy in certainly in Asia. The first, of course, being Japan, and then, of course, you go to China, Hong Kong. Although China will probably very, very soon be the major economy. India is the fourth, but the Indian economy is beginning to boom. And industry is opening there, and automotive plants are opening there, and the biggest automotive producer in China today is General Motors.
Mm-hmm.
And they're shifting over there, but they can't tell the American people this is all part of a grand plan to impoverish the American people. The people behind all of this know exactly what they're doing. In fact, we have something called the New Order of the Barbarians. It's based upon a talk that a Dr. Dedekind heard back in 1969, given by Dr. Richard Day, who is the medical director of Planned Parenthood. And he told back in 1969 exactly what they were going to do to the automotive industry. This is not happening by accident. It's all part of a long-range plan to impoverish the American people. And that's the New Order of the Barbarians. We actually have the transcript and or the actual interviews if anybody's interested. Fascinating material. But you have to understand that going along with that is going to be the destruction of the value of the American dollar. What's amazing to me, Melody, is the American dollar has actually been going up a little recently.
Well, it's been going up recently and had a strong year last year. But you also have to remember that, you know, it's still lost 95% of its value since 1913. So in today's terms, it's relatively strong. But again, it's the illusion. They have to continue that strength in the dollar in order to get people to buy our debt. And but one of these days, it's done, and it will continue to lose its value. You know, it's worth a little less than 5 cents today. And you know, you talk about gold and how it protects your purchasing power, and everybody's heard the stories. Most everyone has heard how that $20 gold piece from, you know, over 100 years ago will buy the same thing today. But you can't take that dollar bill and buy the same thing, heck, from last week. And even though it shows on paper that it's getting stronger, but
well, of course, it's stronger in relationship to the other currencies that are also losing their value.
Right.
As they steal the value of people's wealth that they've accumulated through the years. It's all a means by which you really steal and rape the population as whole. And, of course, if you go back to 1980, the dollar today is worth 30 cents of what the dollar was worth back in 1980. And so you have to understand that, you know, in the last 25, 26 years, we've lost certainly two-thirds of the value of our currency. But the average individual doesn't understand that. All you have to do, though, is look at the value of what houses cost, and what cars cost, and what so many other things cost, what health care costs. They know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to know. We'll be back in just a moment or two, and welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom. And, well, Melody, certainly they played some real great games with the gold and silver market here about 10, 12 days ago, 15 days ago. Are things beginning to recover?
We've seen it hold its value around the 550. The markets were closed today, but earlier this morning we saw Asia had picked up some buying, and it was up strong in the Asian markets as we saw crude oil prices. They jumped after they had some attacks over the weekend in Nigeria that had crippled the OPEC production. And the also Nigeria is the world's eighth largest exporter. So we saw gold rise in Asia, and prior to the show, it looked like it corrected, but it still stands strong around the 550 level. And so we have to remember that nothing goes straight up, and it has to have corrections. People take profit, but we're in a very strong upward trend, and we're still very low in the bull market of gold, and we're going to see some correction periodically, and it's a great buying opportunity. I mean, compared to where economists predict gold to be, we're still very low. Gold is basically cheap compared to the value that it will give you in the near future.
Well, you know, I think it's really very, very fascinating as I read what Bob Chapman was saying. And he said that, of course, when the price of gold and silver fell recently, that they were frantically buying over in India and China. In other words, it was almost pretty close to a 10% correction, at least 7 or 8% fall. And they just started buying as rapidly as they can. And, of course, what Bob Chapman points out, and I think this is really quite true, is that certain central banks are beginning to accumulate gold because the Western banks, certainly in Europe and in the United States and the English-speaking countries, have all been selling gold to try to keep the price down. But eventually, you keep selling and selling, and eventually you don't have much to sell. And this is all really for the impression. They have to get people to think that, oh, the gold really has no value. You know, the only thing of value is this money that we print here. We've got a printing press, and we can just keep printing more and more money. But eventually people begin to realize, of course, that they're intensely depreciating the value of the paper money, whereas gold holds its value. And you can buy the same thing today with an ounce of gold that you could buy, 50 years ago with an ounce of gold. But you certainly can't buy the same thing today for a dollar that you could buy 50 years ago. So it's time that people understand. And apparently, there really is apparently a lot of gold accumulation. You'll find that Russia, the Central Bank of Russia, is accumulating gold. Argentina is accumulating gold. China is accumulating gold. And India is accumulating gold. And I suspect, of course, if we knew about it, why a lot of the Arab countries are accumulating gold, because they don't trust the West anymore. And I really fear very much that we are very, very soon going to antagonize the entire Islamic world, and they are going to unite against us. And when that happens, how comfortable are they going to feel when they control our ports along the eastern seaboard? We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Melody Cedarstrom. And, of course, we're talking about what's happening in the financial markets. If you're out there and you have a question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And I was just saying that there's a growing antagonism towards the United States throughout the Islamic world. And certainly recently, within this last couple of days, we've heard that the Bush administration is going to allow the sale of the management of 6 eastern ports to a company that is run by a Muslim nation, the Muslim nation of Dubai, the Emirates of Dubai. And this Muslim company that is owned by the government there is going to be managing our ports, and a lot of people are concerned about that, but of course the president says there is nothing to worry about. You can trust me. I mean, you can absolutely trust me. We've looked into this. These people are perfectly capable of managing the ports, and we have nothing to worry about. Do you think anybody's concerned about that?
I don't think they are. You know what, Dr. Sana, it's just amazing that, I mean, is what is wrong? I mean, it doesn't take rocket scientists to figure out that we have financial problems in this country. It doesn't, what does it take for people to realize? I mean, here you have Arabs that will be controlling six major ports. I mean, why aren't the people outraged? Or are we just past that point to where we're just so inundated people are so inundated with their lives that they don't even have the energy to become outraged at the things that are going on with this country when where terrorism is beating down our throats on a daily basis, and then you have the Arabs that are going to be controlling our ports without even, you know, putting any controls on our southern borders from Mexico. I mean, it's just ridiculous, and it's like, what is wrong with people? They should be contacting their representatives and saying, hey guys, stop, wake up. Don't do this, and you know, what is wrong with you? But again, it all follow the money. And that's pretty much sums it up. And
all I think is really what's so interesting is the Arabs have lots of money. They're making money hand over fist because if we have allowed ourselves to become dependent upon them. The environmentalists have blocked drilling off of our coast. They've blocked drilling up in Alaska. They've blocked drilling, in so much government land here in the United States and make it difficult for drilling on private land here in the United States. And so we've become dependent upon other countries, and we don't need to be. We could have developed nuclear power. No, we could do that. You know, we don't know what to do with the waste material. Well, of course, we could do what every other country does, and that is recycle it, but there's not one in 1,000 Americans who knows that's what other countries do. Because of the degree of control of the media, so they've made us dependent upon the Arab countries. They've got lots of money. And what are they going to do with the money? It's losing value. If they fear it's going to lose value when the war comes. And so they want to invest in something that has tangible value, and that's our ports. And so I don't blame them for doing it. I just blame the Bush administration for letting them do it. Because they're already involved in a war on terrorism. Aren't they concerned that there could be weapons or nuclear weapons or other things coming into those courts? And, you know, are they going to really be checking the containers to make sure they do not contain chemical or biological or nuclear weapons? Are they really concerned about safety in America? Or are there some of those Muslims who hate America?
Well, they only check, 5% of those containers anyway that come in from China and everywhere else, you know? So, I mean, so much for being concerned about terrorism.
And I think that's such a good point, Melody. If there is really a war on terrorism, why aren't they checking every one of the containers? If there is really a war on terrorism, why aren't they guarding our chemical plants? There are 15,000 of them in America. If they're really concerned about a war on terrorism, why aren't our troops home here guarding our nuclear plants? Why are we talking about going to war with Iran and Syria if our enemy is the wicked Osama bin Laden?
Also, I want to know, and perhaps you have the answer to this. I mean, these Arabs are buying a British company. So what the heck is the British company running our ports for?
Well,
what, we don't have any companies here that can do that?
Well, you ask these logical questions, and of course there's always an illogical answer. Sure we do. But the whole idea is our leaders have no loyalty to the United States. Their loyalty is this globalist dream. That's why they don't close our borders.
That's right.
That's why they're transferring our jobs to other countries. That's why they're transferring our factories to other countries. These people, although they've sworn a loyalty oath to the United States, their loyalty is to the international dream, the New World Order, the New World Religion. So when you understand that, everything makes sense. If you don't, nothing makes sense. We'll be back in just a moment here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we've got Rick calling us from Wisconsin. Hi, Rick. How are you doing?
Pretty good. And I should say hi to Melody, too, there.
Hi, Rick. Thanks.
We're talking about the value of the dollar you know, it's only worth 5 cents and all this. I've got kind of a two-part question. What is that based on? You know, is that gold in the Federal Reserve or something? And my second question is that Federal Reserve audited periodically so that we know how much money is there?
All right, Melody, why don't you take those questions?
Okay, there was kind of a buzz on the phone. I pretty much got the last question as far as
Federal Reserve
being audited.
The first question was basically, you mentioned, of course, that the dollar is only worth perhaps 3 cents of what it was, back at 1913. And as I commented, it's only worth about a third of what it was even in 1980. So what is that based upon? How do you calculate that?
How do you calculate the value of the dollar?
Well, I think it's really the whole idea would be the purchasing power. In other words, what you could
inflation.
if you had an ounce of gold in 1980, of course let's go back to 1975. It was worth about $100 an ounce in 1975. And of course, you could buy at that time. You could buy a pretty good suit for $100. What does a good suit cost you today? Well, a good suit, if it's made in the United States, now it's made in China. Why they're still pretty cheap, but if it's made in the United States, it's going to cost you $500 for a suit. So the dollar's lost about 4/5 of its value since 1975. Does that answer your question, Rick?
Well. I understand the devaluation, but I don't really know you're talking about suits. I mean, is this based on gold or is it based on old coins or?
Yeah, certainly a gold coin in 1975 would have cost you one ounce of gold would have cost you about $100 in 1975.
Now,
And now, today, the same thing will cost you $500.
Okay. So, now what about the Federal Reserve? They have gold, I assume, or not?
Well, go ahead, Melody. What's your thought? Does the Federal Reserve have our gold? I really think that they do. I think that the central banks of the world control the gold. What are your thoughts on that?
I believe the Federal Reserve has gold. I also, to my knowledge, they've never been audited. And,
hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, the question is, has the Federal Reserve System been audited? And Melody says she doesn't think it's been audited. They tell us it was audited one time, 10 years or so ago, but it hadn't been audited for probably 50 or 75 years before that. I really don't know who did the audit, and we have no idea what the Federal Reserve is doing. It is a privately owned central bank that is the most powerful organization in our country. And when, of course, Bill Clinton went to Washington, D.C., he didn't wait for the president of the Federal Reserve to come to see him. He went to see the president of the Federal Reserve. The same thing happened with George Bush. The president of the Federal Reserve, or chairman of the Federal Reserve, is far more powerful than the president of the United States. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no. So how would we find out how much gold the Federal Reserve has, or don't they publish that?
Several years ago, I had numbers as far as, but I can't recall off the top of my head what that number, I'm talking about 3 or 4 years ago. I did a paper on it, and I really don't recall. I'm not even sure the number was equated with it. It was supposedly the Federal Reserve held more gold than any other central bank, and that's pretty much the extent of it. I don't think the Federal Reserve releases too many numbers.
Sounds pretty secretive.
Now, they used to, of course, to publish this at the in the Wall Street Journal, and I remember about 15 years ago they claimed that they had about $11 billion in gold, but that was valuing it at $40 an ounce. So they simply play games like this. Of course, at the time it was selling, for $100 or more an ounce. So you could actually, of course, write to the Federal Reserve in Washington, D.C. and ask them how much gold they have. But I think they will tell you that they are holding gold. And the question is, If gold is of no use, why are they holding gold? And why are all central banks in the world holding gold? And that is, they know it's valuable. They just don't want you to know it's valuable.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Rick. And I think there are a lot of people out there who are very confused about these things. Don't you, Melody?
Absolutely. And I'm sorry there was a buzz in the phone. I don't know if that was on his line or not. But people are confused. But all in all, you know, gold, we didn't have inflation until about the 70s. We didn't have any inflation. Prices were constant. Gold was constant. We really, truly didn't start losing main value until the 70s. And that is along with inflation.
All right, fine. Why don't you get your telephone number and your website out so people would know how to reach you?
The phone number is 800-375-4188. And again, that number is 800-375-4188. You can go to my website, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And that is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And if anyone has an email, if you'd like me to review your gold and silver portfolios, you can email me at discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com.
Well, I think if people study the history of our monetary system, we had a gold-backed currency, all through the, from the time of the demise of the Second Bank of the United States, and that was in 1836, thanks to Andrew Jackson, who actually set out to destroy the Second Bank of the United States because it was being used as a means of impoverishing the people and making the rich even richer. And, of course, it was partly owned by foreigners, and he didn't think that was right. And so he took it on as a crusade to do away with the central bank. He succeeded. And, yes, we had problems. We had periods of, inflation in the money supply and contraction, but it was never done by a centralized bank. And the private bankers were held responsible if they stole the people's money. And it wasn't until 1913 and they established the Federal Reserve System, and this was supposed to give us monetary stability so we wouldn't have booms and busts. It was give us so the dollar would maintain its value. And they, of course, had the dollar was to be backed by gold, or at least by 40% gold, and that was to be the foundation, and you couldn't expand the monetary supply. And the system worked fairly well. Certainly, there was some inflation because they kept expanding the amount of money in relation to the amount of gold. But the system worked fairly well until the time of the Roaring Twenties. Of course, they massively expanded the monetary supply, and then, of course, we had they contracted the monetary supply to try to regain control of the monetary system, and that brought on the Great Depression. And the only way we got out of that was the Second World War with massive deficit spending. And the first time we had massive deficits was the Second World War. But after the Second World War, they had the Bretton Woods Agreement. The Bretton Woods Agreement tied all currencies to the American dollar. The dollar became the reserve currency of the world, and the dollar was backed by gold because we had the largest gold holdings in the world. And there was really financial stability, fairly financial stability, up until August 15, 1971, when Richard Nixon temporarily took the world off the gold standard. And then, of course, we had runaway inflation so that, by 1980, we had inflation running at 18 or 19%, and they had to get the interest rates up to 22% to prevent the total collapse of the dollar. Well, of course, since then, of course, we've seen progressive inflation and destruction of the value of the holdings of people and the pensions, and anybody who's in monetary increments is gradually seeing the value of their currency eroded. But unless you stop and think about it, you don't realize what's happening. The average individual doesn't understand that once you do away with that anchor of gold that prevents the monetary ship from floundering, why you get into real trouble. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that. And you know what the trouble with so many people have is because we've had how many generations that have that have been taught that gold no longer matters. and we have a two generations now that don't understand the concept of gold and the importance of gold in backing a currency. And I believe they will be taught the lesson very soon, the importance, and that is why it is so important to get on board now while you have the opportunity to buy gold products and silver products while it is still affordable. And while there are still choices out there on the product that you can purchase, and because people will be learning, and you know, when gold reaches $850, I mean, the only people that are buying gold right now are what you mentioned earlier, the Asians, the China, you know, India, the countries that aren't, the Americans, Europe, the Canadians. And when those people begin to buy, when we begin to buy gold, then we will have a gold frenzy. We will have that gold fever, and that will propel us into a different stage, to which gold will rise from $850 to, you know, $1,500. And, you know, when you think about our debt, the amount of our debt, and the situation of everything that we've spoken about this evening, when it all comes together, who knows where gold can go? There's so many reports of, you know, with the manipulation of the price and the suppression of gold. Gold can rise to 2,000 to 3,000. I mean, there's even predictions out there to 10,000. But I don't think anyone really knows, except that gold is the only investment to have right now. It should first be purchased as an item, as the old insurance policy, to protect your purchasing power. It is the safest investment out there. It has the least amount of risk. In fact, it has no risk whatsoever. But I guess when you have an investment, you do have to say there's some risk. And but it has the opportunity to bring the greatest return of any investment ever. I mean, this gold market, this gold bull market is going to be talked about in the history books. I mean, we still talk about the gold rush of prior years. Well, this is going to be the second gold rush that we will see in this country. And it's exciting, but it's also frightening, because I realize as gold rises, things are coming to pass as far as the uncertainty, as far as our currency, as far as this country. And so you get two sides of the coin. You get a great profit, but yet you also realize that things are happening. People are being hurt. People are losing their wealth. Even though it is debt, they perceive it as wealth. The way they've been losing their jobs. A lot of people are going to be hurt, and that's not something that we can look forward to. But that's the importance of owning gold. People put it on the back burner. Usually people don't buy gold until something happens. You know, they wait until something happens, whether it's war or whatever. They wait until they see that spike in gold. Don't wait. Don't be complacent.
All right, fine. We've got Roger, who's calling us from Henderson, Nevada. And hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Doing just fine, Dr. Stan. I got a couple questions for your guest there. She sounds real good on the radio. I just want to ask her a couple questions.
Uh-huh.
I've been buying silver, those silver eagles. Are those the best things to keep on buying?
All right. Roger's buying silver eagles. He wants to know what your thought is about that.
Silver eagles are great. I guess it depends on how many you're purchasing. You can purchase 90% silver. That's probably about the least expensive way to purchase silver right now, is the 90% silver, even over generic rounds. There, it's less expensive, you know, plus you're getting legal tender. The silver eagles are a little more storable. You have a little more of a premium in the silver eagles. So either or, they're great. It's a great way to buy silver.
And yes. I think, Roger, if the silver does what I anticipate it's going to do, the fact that you're paying a slight premium for that, I do not think is going to be a major factor. Remember, I'm not involved in silver sales. I'm just a fellow who's been watching this for, since 1962. What's that, 44 years now. And I know a little bit. I've made an awful lot of mistakes. So I wouldn't worry if it's going to cost you maybe a dollar a coin more, because down the line, if silver does what I anticipate it's going to do, why, well, you'll be, I think you'll do very well.
Also, how about gold? What is the best gold to buy, affordable gold, you know, like about like $500, you know? How much can you buy, you know, like on $500 with gold coins? What's the lowest price gold coin you can get, ma'am?
Well, if you're looking to spend $500, you can pick up some bullion coins. You can pick up some fractional gold bullion.
They're talking about a tenth of an ounce, a quarter of an ounce, things like that.
Half of an ounce, certainly. You can also buy the extra fine $5 liberties, the smaller fractional pieces. I usually don't recommend the circulated $20 gold pieces, but for the smaller fractional pieces, it's a great buy.
Okay, anything else, Roger?
Yeah, I got one more question before I get out of here tonight. How about real estate, okay? I want to know about your forecast on that. You think out here in Clark County, Nevada, you think that's going to go belly side up, or you think the price is going to keep on going up out here in Southern Nevada? What's your thought on that?
I don't think real estate prices are going to go up anywhere. I think we've been seeing a somewhat of a softening in prices. And even though I know the, I believe it was last week's report that the new home starts are the biggest in how many years, you're still going to see a softening. I think there's certain segments of the market that might be a little more of a delay than others. But I can tell you what, there's a lot of parts of this country that have home market has been very soft and prices are declining. And as we see interest rates rise, you know, we have, 55% of them are adjustable rates. And so people, they can't afford or they don't qualify to change their adjustable rates into a 30-year mortgage. So they're going to be stuck with their adjustable rates. So as the interest rates rise, we're going to see homes mortgages default. And, you know, it's the domino effect.
Well, Roger lives in Henderson, Nevada, and I will tell you, if you go to Henderson, that is really an area that is just exploding. It's amazing to see there in the desert these housing developments just springing up out of nothing. Houses there have actually doubled, you know, in many areas there over the last 2 years. Housing values have doubled there in Henderson, Nevada. But, Roger, you remember that old adage, whatever goes up, it's got to come down.
Absolutely.
And I would certainly, even though the Las Vegas Henderson area has been an excellent investment for the last 40 years, I think there comes a time when you have to change course.
Absolutely. That's why I feel also, and you're absolutely right on that.
Okay, Roger. Well, thanks so very much. I hope you built a couple of houses there about a couple of years ago.
Yeah. That's what me and my wife are waiting for right now. We're just waiting for everything to come down and use our silver and gold in order to buy everything for pennies on the dollar. That's what we're waiting for. Faces of virtue.
God bless. Thanks so much, Roger.
God bless you too, Dr. Bye-bye. Dan. Thank you so much.
Okay,
bye-bye.
That's Roger calling from Henderson. And certainly, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Melody, did you see that article and that I started the program with talking about what Bob Chapin said? And I've found through the years that Bob has been very, very accurate, that European banks are refusing to take American deposits. What does that foretell?
Well, I think it foretells that, you know, again, people around the world know what's going on. That they don't want the American dollar anymore, you know. And I'm not sure. I know with, I didn't read, I hate to say it, I hate to admit it, but I didn't read the article. Was it in this week's issue?
This week's article. Well, I get it on Sunday, and I really wanted to see.
I'm
honest,
Dr. Stan.
That's all right. Don't feel bad. In fact, I almost missed that. In fact, I sat down and I wanted to have something to talk about. And so before the program, I've read the last part, which I usually don't read, you know, what's going on in Europe. I usually read the commodities in the first mm-hmm. part, and then, of course, when it gets to the gold and silver market. But that, to me, was really one of the most fascinating and almost frightening things, the fact that European banks would be getting to hold American checks and cashiers' checks for 60 days now. You know what I mean? That just doesn't happen. But the fact that some banks would not take American deposits suggests to me that they know that there's going to be exchange controls here in the very near future. And with exchange controls means you won't be able to get any money out of this country. I lived in a country with exchange controls in South Africa, and so much of what I had there, we were never able to get out. And since then, they've totally destroyed the value of the rand. Could it happen in America? Well, Melody, let's get your telephone number and website out one more time.
You know, I just want to make a comment on that. As I was thinking, you know, it is, you know, they are changing controls of the dollar, and my concern is, how wide is our, I'm not saying the Patriot Act is being extended to other countries, but is it? I mean, is this just a control more so of the American people and their dollar for their worldwide terrorism and so forth? And is it just another way to track our money? Is it just another way to make it difficult to hide our funds in their quest for anti-money laundering quest that they've had for so long to prevent people to you know, using cash anymore? I certainly see changes in our banks here in this country since January 1st, and it's all for the you know, quote unquote you know, Patriot Act and for the good of the American people to prevent terrorism and to eliminate money laundering. So I think it has a lot of consequences that it is interesting to see how, you know, that we've gone past our borders to control the American and their money.
And I think that this whole war on terrorism is really all about controlling the American people. They have never tried to get Osama bin Laden. They didn't try to get him at the Battle of Tora Bora. They would not allow the special forces to go after him. Why? Because if we'd gotten Osama bin Laden back there in December of 2001, how would we possibly have justified staying in Afghanistan and then attacking Iraq and then Iran and Syria? And, I mean, I have on very good authority that Osama bin Laden is dead. Michael Ledeen has said that, and he's one of the leaders of this whole neoconservative movement and an architect of our current policy. But, of course, they flash his picture up on the screen, and they tell us about the new directive and new demands he set out. We don't know whether it's true or not. All we know is that the government, what they're telling us, is this wag the dog? Is this real? And, of course, we may never know whether Osama bin Laden died many, many years ago. Our reality is created, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of. But I think it's so important that people understand that the war on terrorism is not designed to protect us from terrorism. If it was, it'd seal the southern border, and they'd be checking and guarding our chemical plants and the containers coming into this country. The war on terrorism is all about controlling the lives of the American people and monitoring every single American from the cradle to the grave. And we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest has been Melody Cedarstrom. Melody, I want you to get your telephone number and your webpage out one more time.
The phone number is 1-800-375-4188. And that number again is 800-375-4188. The website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And we put together sensible portfolios. We stretch your dollar the furthest when it comes to your gold and silver portfolios. And that is so important to get the right product at the right price.
Okay, well, thank you so very much for being with us, Melody. And we'll be talking to you again later.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night.
Good night.
Bless. All right, fine. Well, that was Melody Cedarstrom, and I hope you've enjoyed our program with her. And also, of course, we want to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do have a few people who help us to be on the air. Melody's one of them, but we think her advice is accurate, but we really do depend upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours a day, trying to get the American people to understand we are living in very difficult times, and an awful lot of people are going to be wiped out financially in the coming economic crisis. Those of you who have not read my pamphlet, The History of Money, or seen my DVD on the coming economic crisis, you really need to get that and at least give serious consideration to making your plans for the difficult times that lie ahead. If all you need to do is read the history of the past where people lost their farms and their businesses, their homes, time and time and time again, when they've created artificial prosperity, when they've contracted the economy, why people have lost everything. There's nothing new under the sun, and we advise people to give serious consideration to studying past economic cycles. We carry some wonderful books like The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, The Creature from Jekyll Island, the video, The Money Man. You'll see interviews there with Milton Friedman talking about the Great Depression, the book Fiat Money Inflation in France, which tells you what happened in France back in 1789. When they actually did away with the gold backing to the currency and they used the property that had been seized from the church and from the nobility as the basis for the money that they established after the French Revolution. Fascinating insight into everything that's going on in America and the world today. Fiat Money Inflation in France is a book I read 40 years ago, and I will never forget it. Because, of course, when you have readily availability of money and artificial prosperity, you see a progressive breakdown in morality, and people turn away from God, they turn away from values, they think that they can live the good life forever. And, of course, it was only 11 years later when, of course, France had a new leader. His name was Napoleon Bonaparte. They had a new emperor, and, of course, the Napoleonic War started. The same thing is happening in America. We are going into war very, very soon with Iran, with Syria. I don't know whether it'll be a matter of months or a matter of several years, but everything is in place. All they need to do is convince the American people that, oh, we've got to attack Iran. My goodness, if we don't attack Iran, they might attack us. And in the process, I fear, although we are going to precipitate World War III, and I fear for my country when I reflect that God is just. And his justice will not sleep forever. And so pray for America, and please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, yeah, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please, hold your calls at least for a couple of minutes until we see if we can get our special guest on tonight. And his name is Chris Simcox, and he is the co-founder of the Minuteman organization, the groups of people who are going down to guard our southern border. And, of course, he and Jim Gilchrist are there. Jim Gilchrist we've had on before. We've had on Chris Simcox in the past. And, in fact, I had an opportunity to actually see him at a recent meeting where he spoke. He's very tall and very athletic and certainly a very excellent speaker and very concerned about what's going on in our southern border and what this means as far as the survival of America, because, of course, we are basically dealing with a massive invasion of the United States by people who do not want our culture. They don't want our language. They want to come here and take jobs and send the money back home. And their loyalty is not to this country, but certainly to their own country of origin, which is primarily Mexico. Chris, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
It's certainly my pleasure. It's good to speak with you.
Well, certainly I think that there are many Mexicans who come to America illegally who want to be Americans, who want to learn the language, who want to live here, who want to adopt our culture. Certainly they're proud of their Mexican heritage, but they want to be Americans. And then we have the illegals who come, who really, of course, their loyalty is not to America. Their loyalty is to their own country. But, of course, this is having a profound impact on our economy, on our hospitals, on our schools, on the health of the American people. Well, why did you pick this up, Chris? What motivated you to get involved in the Border Watch?
Well, clearly, we're living in major metropolitan areas around the country, New York City, Chicago, and Los Angeles. And then, of course, the attacks of September 11th caused me to think that it was time to find a way to help my country. And just by chance, a vacation to the southern border, to a national park along the Arizona-Mexico border, Oregon Pipe National Park, where I encountered hundreds of people and vehicles driving across our borders just a week after September 11th, led me to think that this was a clear and present danger to national security and public safety. And clearly now we see with the anti-American sentiment in Latin America that's growing, and of course the anti-American sentiment around the world, led me to believe that our open borders would be a perfect way for people who intended to harm us to enter our country. And so it's such a complicated issue, of course, and we're being attacked in so many ways. Now, granted, you know, we talked about that there are many people from Mexico and other countries, other immigrants from around the country who want to come here and live, the American dream, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They want to learn English and become American citizens. But our border presents a serious issue already with weapons of mass destruction entering this country every day in the form of drug dealers, criminals, rapists, murderers, child molesters, people from all over the world who know we're soft, know our laws are soft, know our government is soft, and know they can come here and prey on American citizens and illegal immigrants who are in this country, illegal aliens who have no protection under the law, who are preyed upon by criminal illegal
immigrants. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, our guest is Chris Simcox, and we're talking about what's going on at the border. And so you're simply saying that there's so many people coming in, and a lot of these are illegal immigrants, and they're actually being preyed on by other illegal immigrants because there is a large criminal component in what's coming in, isn't there?
Absolutely. We have gangs such as MS-13, the 18th Street Gang. In California alone, we have over 200 documented factions of non-English-speaking gangs who've come across the border illegally and set up shop and prey on Americans and immigrants alike. We have the war on drugs, which, you know, should have started with securing our borders 25 years ago. So you have a crime syndicate, organized crime, that rule the borders and rule communities across the country. Case in point, we have one here, a community here in the Phoenix area called Maryville, where local law enforcement just basically has abandoned it. They refuse to go into this community because it's ruled by non-English-speaking street gangs who set up shop, and they create the mafia that rule the streets, and you pay for protection, and if you don't pay for protection, you're preyed upon.
Well, now, why doesn't the government just go in and put a stop to this, arrest the ringleaders of this, and put them in prison where they belong?
Unfortunately, because of the laws, because of sanctuary laws that we have, I prefer to call them shield laws, it's shielding and protecting groups of people. And then, of course, we have the most hateful anti-American groups in the country protecting these so-called immigrants. They're illegal immigrants. The ACLU, the Anti-Defamation League, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and a whole cadre of attorneys and lawyers who will sue law enforcement and prevent them and intimidate them into backing away and leaving these people alone.
Well, now, who's funding all of this? Because you can't hire lawyers and you can't have a program to protect people who are here illegally without massive funding from somebody. Where's the money coming from?
The money's coming from big corporations, special interest groups, the Ford Foundation, other monies that are coming in to the ACLU, of course, from the left wing in this country, who feel, pretty much represent the socialist communist movement in this country. And you can go to websites such as indymedia.com, you can go to the Communist Party website, and you can see the blatant anti-American attitude, where now they've taken up.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Chris Simcox. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris is talking about really what's happening, and he said that, I mean, there's some communities where the police won't go into, and they won't go into it because there are all sorts of laws to protect the criminals, and if they do try to protect the criminals, then the ADL, Added Defamation League, and B'nai B'rith, and the ACLU, and certainly we'll have a whole cadre of lawyers there to sue the police for doing what police are supposed to do, and that is enforcing the law. So I asked Chris, where does the money come from? And of course he points out that many of the major corporations are funding this. The Ford Foundation is funding this. And money is coming from all sorts of sources. In fact, I saw recently where Congress even appropriated a fair amount of money for La Raza, which is a racist group that actually protects illegal aliens. So you're happy to know that your tax money is going as well to fund these lawyers, or of course keeping the police from doing their job of establishing a law and order in certain communities right here in America. It almost seems like a nightmare, Chris.
It has presented itself to be that way in many communities where we, the people, the voters, the taxpayers, are separated from the elitists that run Washington, D.C. They clearly work for their own interest and their connections to corporate interest and big business. That's the disconnect between the government and we, the people. Clearly, in poll after poll, 75-80% of American citizens who are polled want the borders secured in the name of national security and public safety. They want the illegals rounded up, and they want them deported. And yet the federal government continues to say, no, it's more complicated than that. We need to accept these people into our communities. They're here taking jobs that you won't take, and we need them. The economy would come to a screeching halt if we were to deport these people.
Now, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that argument? They say, look, they take the jobs that Americans won't accept. So how do you counter that argument?
Well, I counter it by saying, how come you have not come up with enforcing the orderly queue? Immigration throughout history has been measured. There's been quotas, and that's responsible government who knows that you cannot accept millions and millions upon people with no checks and balances, no medical background checks, criminal background checks, and that they come in and they're welcomed in, and we provide a way for them to assimilate. For the first time in our history, we've opened the doors and let millions of people come in, and we don't require them to assimilate.
All right, of course, the answer that I would ordinarily give, this idea, well, they take jobs that, that no one else will take. Well, the people would take the jobs if they were paying a decent wage. And they would have to pay a decent wage. And we're talking about some of the big corporations that employ a lot of illegal aliens if the government was enforcing its laws. Now, and, you know, back in the mid-1980s when they had an alien amnesty, and they promised at that time that this would never happen again. And there were 3 million illegal aliens who were given legal status. Many of them, of course, were criminals and never should have, but they were given a legal status. But there were laws enacted at that time that companies that employed illegal aliens in the future would face heavy fines and possible criminal prosecution. Why hasn't the government enforced those laws? Why is the government allowing these corporations to hire illegal aliens at a sub level of wages which Americans would take if they were paying a halfway decent wage? Why isn't the government enforcing its laws? Why are they selective in which laws they enforce and which laws they don't enforce?
Our elected officials have certainly been co-opted by corporate interests. Big business, big money, banking, and the banking industry. We continue to outsource our jobs in this country to provide bigger profits for corporate interests who say that they then reinvest those profits into creating new jobs. Unfortunately, all of our technology jobs, our manufacturing base, the industrial powerhouse of the world has outsourced all of its companies and its jobs to other nations. In the meantime, we've become a service industry. Our country has become more, I guess, educated. And, of course, parents don't value those same type of vocational jobs that we used to, the plumbers, the carpenters, and of course, the technical jobs. And we have no manufacturing base. So we've shipped industry and manufacturing jobs outside of U.S. territory, and we've created nothing more than a service industry that supports the growing upper class in this country, the middle class, to support a lifestyle, a very decadent lifestyle in that sense of having maids and housekeepers and lawn keepers and people coming in and, you know, propping up our quality of life, so-called quality of life. And so Americans, in many instances, will not take these jobs, and, of course, because they're just not valued.
Well, of course, the tragedy is that I think that we're going to see more and more people, the middle-class people, moving into the lower class. I can see the time when we will have a two-class society, as they have in Mexico and so many South American countries, of the very wealthy and the poor, and the very, very poor, as we see increasingly in Mexico since NAFTA. Actually, there has been an increased poverty in Mexico simply because NAFTA forced Mexico to accept American farm exports, corn specifically. We subsidize our corn. We can sell it there for less than the poor Mexican peasant can sell his corn, and the people who were poor before are poorer today. And really, isn't this one of the things that's driving so many people to come north? Because our policies have actually impoverished the Mexican people even more?
Clearly, it's social and economic engineering plotted by the governments, the very rich elitist governments of two nations, Mexico and the United States. So certainly NAFTA has destroyed the middle class in Mexico. Although the deal that was cut, which was not a treaty, it was an agreement, was that we'll send you our manufacturing base to continue making cheap goods for you and the United States. You send us your lower class citizens in a caste system that they have in Mexico, and we'll provide them a better life and a better opportunity that they could ever achieve there. You save your dollars, we have a social system that will take care of them. And it's clear, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer in this country and in Mexico.
And I think this is what people don't understand, is what Chris says is absolutely right. This is part of a plan. And I really believe that there is a plan to unite the United States and Mexico. It's certainly the Council on Foreign Relations has written about that. How we just have to do away with borders and sovereignty, unite the United States with Mexico. Have you ever heard that theory, that this is what they're really up to?
Yes, we've seen that, and we've seen President Bush meeting on foreign soil discussing that issue. I don't want to tread over the line of calling that treasonous, but it's certainly seditious when it comes to the Declaration of Independence, one of our most important documents in our country and our Constitution. Our borders, our nation can only survive if we have borders and that we secure them. I don't think Americans at this point, and many Europeans would agree that I've spoken to, we do not want to recreate the travesty of the European Union. And many Europeans, especially in England, are resisting that movement now. Unfortunately, I don't think they can return it to times of old. But, you know, we must preserve our borders. How dare our government send millions of dollars to Mexico in an effort to secure their southern border, but yet we'll do very little to secure ours, thinking that a small investment to a most corrupt government, and a very anti-American government, will do a whole lot to provide for the security of U.S. citizens.
And, of course, really what's happened in Mexico is such a tragedy because although initially they did do fairly well with their industrial producing goods there, now, of course, many of those factories have moved to China, and Mexico is being inundated with cheap Chinese goods, just exactly as we are being inundated with cheap Chinese goods. And so many of the Mexican factories that developed immediately after NAFTA are no longer operating or have simply been shifted over to China. And so the Mexicans are really worse off than they were. But I think Chris is absolutely right. There are people in our country, now he doesn't want to call it treason, I will call it treason, because people have sworn an oath to hold our Constitution, and they have no intention of doing that. Their loyalty is to a different dream, and that is the establishment of this globalism, world government, uniting the United States, Mexico, and Canada into one society, and then, of course, uniting that society with the rest of the Western Hemisphere, and then there are five major blocks in the world, eventually consolidating those five blocks into a one-world government. That's the dream. That's the plan. You can see it taking place. If you don't know the plan, you can't figure out what's going on. It just doesn't make sense. Chris, how could we close our border? Could we do it if we really had the will, if President Bush really wanted to do it? Couldn't he begin closing that border down tomorrow?
With a simple executive order, the borders of the United States and Mexico could be secured in 6 weeks. Using the available National Guard personnel, the retired law enforcement and military veterans that we have who are willing to step up to the plate, who still consider themselves under oath to support Border Patrol, it could clearly be done.
And, of course, the other thing would be we would have to start prosecuting the major corporations that are violating our laws, that are getting away with it because the people in Washington, D.C. have a different agenda. They don't prosecute those corporations because they want the illegal aliens, but we can't tell the American people that. Would that be a fair statement?
I think that's very fair and very accurate. Yes, we must go after the employers. What good is the law if we're not going to enforce it?
And, of course, the thing is, once you took away the jobs, why the people wouldn't be coming, you know? The whole idea, you know, you build a baseball field, the people will come. Well, you have the jobs here, they'll come. But if the jobs are not here, they're not going to come. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Chris Simcox. We're talking about what's happening as far as the border is concerned. You're really finding an awful lot of Americans are really very worried about what's going on. And tell us about the success that you and the Minutemen are having down on the border.
We knew that the letter writing and faxes and phone calls and town hall meetings were not getting us anywhere. Again, the government elitist knew that they could listen to us and then ignore us and go right back to business as usual. I think the Minutemen movement has been the catalyst that has ignited the debate nationwide, at least brought national attention to the truth of what's going on. Battling the mainstream media, who's attempted to portray us as the problem, we're forcing them right back to what the real problem is: Mexican military incursions, paramilitary incursions, drug cartels, organized crime, slave trade, sex slave trade. The facts cannot be ignored anymore, and Americans coast to coast, border to border, have awakened. We've awakened the sleeping giant, and I don't see how this federal government can ignore we the people much longer.
Well, of course, as long as the politicians get reelected, as long as people do not start throwing these politicians out, they're going to go along with it. But even when the majority of the members of Congress want to do something, the administration totally ignores them. I mean, this seems to be the case time after time after time. And they say, look, we're in charge here. You're going to have to trust us. It's sort of like with the Arabs, the Muslims taking over 6 of our eastern seaports. The president has said, we've looked into this. You're going to have to trust me. It's perfectly all right. Can we really trust these people in government to be honest and forthright with us?
We see that we certainly have power over our congressional representatives, who are perpetually in a campaign cycle, in a re-election cycle every 2 years. They feel the heat. They felt the heat more than anyone. And, of course, we saw the success in providing them with the will and the incentive to pass the Sensenbrenner King bill. But the weakest link in our government, or the two powers in government, the Senate and the White House, seem to be working together. There's some sort of collusion there where the Senate works for the president, and the president works with the Senate to make sure that whatever the president wants is what will be in this country. So we need to work on our senators. I'm certainly for term limits when it comes to senators, but we need to put pressure on our Senate, and that's what we're advocating everyone to do now. Get out to these meetings. Force your senators to realize that you will remove them. Unfortunately, they have 6 years of insulation before they ever come up for re-election. But we need to send a strong message to them that they work for us.
Well, I think that the great tragedy is, I think we have some of the finest politicians in Washington, D.C. that money could buy. And what we need, of course, are people who really, of course, believe in America, who want to maintain our sovereignty. And I think the biggest thing that we're facing is the loss of American sovereignty. What are your thoughts?
The loss of American sovereignty, the loss of what America was as a manufacturing powerhouse, an industrial powerhouse. And I think we've stretched ourselves a bit thin in sort of imperialism in a sense. We have so many problems here. We were so close to having things repaired in this country before September 11th. And we need to return to that. We need to eradicate the gangs. We need to secure our borders.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Chris Simcox of the Minutemen group down there, and certainly they have a very effective organization, and they're focusing the attention of the American people on the border issue that is not being addressed by the Bush administration and is not certainly being addressed by many members of Congress, although more and more of them are feeling the heat from the people and really are beginning to at least tacitly say the right thing. So you were just saying that certainly what needs to be done and what is being done effectively.
Well, certainly everyone needs to call their senators and let them know that we want the Sensenbrenner King bill left alone. That focuses on border security. Let's not discuss guest worker programs, and certainly we won't go anywhere near amnesty. first thing you do is secure the borders in the name of national security and public safety. If you will not, we the people are willing to go down there and stand in the breach and assist Border Patrol and begin continue to bring more national attention to the outrageous situation along the U.S.-Mexico border. Next to that, we need public servants. We need a new age, basically reverting back to the old days where elected officials ran on the creed of public service, that they worked for the Constitution and the constituents that they represent. And that's what we need to return to. It's hard to find anyone who's willing to run for office now because it's the rich elitist in this country who continue to take office after office, from mayor to governorships to Senate to the Congress, everywhere across this nation.
Well, I agree with you on that. Of course, what I really think is that we have to stress the fact that there would not be a problem if the federal government would enforce the federal laws, because it is a crime to employ illegal aliens here in the United States. And they selectively have refused to enforce those laws. They themselves then become lawbreakers by doing that, but they don't want the American people to know. If the jobs weren't here, the illegal aliens would not come. And so the first thing I think we need to do is embarrass and expose the illegal activities of the people in the Justice Department who refuse to enforce our laws. Is any effort being made to do that, Chris?
Yes, we're bringing, you know, through our actions and exposing the fact that Michael Chertoff, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, tells us that Mexican military incursions are nothing to worry about. That the President tells us that border security is the most important aspect of Homeland Security. It's the front lines. And then cuts Border Patrol's funding and takes the money and puts it in a guest worker program. When are the American people going to wake up if these people are blatantly lying to you and you do nothing except turn the channel and watch American Idol? And that's a shame. That's a problem with most Americans, is that they just don't pay attention. And those of us that do don't seem to represent enough a powerhouse to be able to make change. But we need to expose them. I think the newspapers and the media is starting to do that. And sooner or later, people are going to wake up and say, look, we welcome immigrants. We welcome people to come to this country. But this issue is not about race. It's not about being anti-immigrant. It's about protecting the citizens of the United States, national security and public safety. And we want an orderly queue. And stop making a mockery of our citizenship and our laws. When lawmakers are now siding on with the lawbreakers and going out of their way to protect them, it's a sad day in the United States of America.
Amen to that. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Our guest is Chris Simcox, and we're talking about this whole issue of the illegal immigration that is not being dealt with, and of course we're really talking about the wrong issue. Now, what Chris and Jim Gilchrist and the others are doing is focusing attention on the problem of illegal immigration. All across America, you see these swarms of illegal immigrants coming in. We find, of course, many of our hospitals are closing down along the border because they're losing money. They're forced to give free medical care, and pretty soon there'll be no medical care. We find that here in California, it's costing billions of dollars a year to care for the illegal immigrants. And we find they're bringing new diseases with them, diseases which have been stamped out by our effective public health policy. We're finding that the illegal children are being deluging our schools and creating all sorts of problems. And then we find the gangs increasingly producing a problem and terrorizing law-abiding citizens. Many of them, of course, are Mexican or from South America. And they just don't know what to do because we're bringing the lawlessness of Mexico right into the United States. Well, when we get back, of course, we're going to welcome your calls, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Chris, why don't you tell us about some of the things that you and Jim have been doing and how, you know, the effectiveness of that. Now, you've had a number of times you've invited people to come down, and you've had hundreds and hundreds come down to help you, haven't you?
Yes, we have. We just completed a very successful two-state operation this past weekend. We assisted Border Patrol with locating over 70 people entering the country illegally. But folks out there listening can contact MinutemanHQ.com. We need people to register to be volunteers to come down and do at least 1 8-hour shift on the border, at least to see for yourself how wide open it is. Also, we have internal chapters we're developing. We're going after city councils and local government entities and overturning the sanctuary laws, repealing them, and allowing our local law enforcement, in the absence of the federal government's response, let local law enforcement enforce immigration laws and go after the gangs and start rounding up and deporting people who are in this country illegally.
Right, and I think that this really is so vitally important. You have to focus attention on an issue before you can do anything about it. And this is really the beauty of what Chris and Jim are doing down there. How did you and Jim Gilchrist get hooked up?
I had been working on the border security watch for quite a few years, Dan, since November of 2002. Jim called me after hearing me on the radio and seeing me on TV and said, and Jim's got a very interesting personality, and he said, you know, Chris, I've been watching you, and it seems you guys aren't vigilantes, and you haven't killed anybody, and you're not in jail, and I'm very interested in coming down and seeing what's going on. And we invited him to come down and take a tour of the border and showed him our operations. And he said, you know, he had an idea to hold a 30-day protest and wanted to know if I would support it and manage it for him. And after many lengthy discussions, I agreed to do that. And Jim went out and became the lightning rod and started recruiting. And I used our volunteers here in Arizona to host last April's Minuteman Project. Since that time, the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps has been formed, and we've expanded to all four southern border states. We're along the northern border. Jim's turned his focus towards running for office and bringing attention to the employers. So we've really doubled our efforts. We continue to watch the border and go after local municipalities and lawmakers, and Jim's going after looking for people to run for office and running himself. He did a fantastic job in California running as an independent, which sent a clear message to Washington, D.C.
Well, that's all right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I was simply asking Chris about how he got hooked up with Jim Gilchrist, and Jim, of course, had called Chris and had some conversations, and then they decided to join forces and actually create the Minuteman organization. And Jim is out there recruiting people to run for political office. He ran for office here in Southern California for a seat, and he really did very, very well. Running as an independent, of course, you have a great deal of problems. How did the vote line up there?
Jim ended up obtaining 25.5% of the vote as an independent against a staunch Republican, a clear inside boy in the Republican Party. But the issue here, Stan, is that this should not be partisan politics. This should be national security and public safety and working to enforce the sovereignty of our borders and the rule of law in this country. So many people want to make this a partisan issue, and of course we discussed earlier how so many people want to label anyone who complains about open borders or illegal aliens as a racist or a xenophobe or an anti-immigrant. And of course that's what the left and that's what the socialists and the communists want to use against us, because they know that they're importing a group of people who someday, of course, will be voters. I don't know how, because without citizenship, you're not allowed to vote in our elections. And that's why Arizona led the way with passing Prop 200 last year, where you must prove your citizenship before registering to vote. Unfortunately, we have a governor here who's fought that tooth and nail, a governor who was elected clearly on the votes of illegal aliens, and she doesn't like the fact that next time around she's going to have to rely on the votes of legal citizens to maintain her power over our state.
Well, I hope that maybe she'll can go into an early retirement. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY-464-8295. Now, Jim, I want you to give your telephone number and your website out one more time so all of our listeners can get it. And then we'll go to Sharon, who's calling from Henderson. And again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Your number and website again?
If folks interested can go to our website, MinutemanHQ.com. You can call our national offices at area code 520-457-2320.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Sharon. And, hi, Sharon. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Are you related to Roger?
Yes, I am.
All right, fine. Go ahead, have a question there.
Yes, Roger wants to know if you guys get a chapter of the Minutemen started here in Nevada.
You want to know if what now?
If we get the Minutemen started, chapter in Nevada.
All right. If he wants to know about getting a Minuteman unit set up there in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we sure would like to do that. We have chapters growing across the country. You contact us. Send an email to info@MinutemanHQ.com. Let me know that you would like to start a chapter. We're looking for leadership teams. And we have a national structure that we can help support you there in Nevada. We know we have a lot of support there. You have a great person there running for Congress, and Mrs. Engel out of the Reno area that we certainly would like to support. But contact us at send me an email, info@MinutemanHQ.com, and we'll be in touch with you and discuss how you can start a chapter.
Yeah, Sharon, do you have a computer?
I go to my sister's, or I go to my to the library right now and get it.
All right, fine. You go for it and get in touch with them, and I commend you for it. And we need, of course, to get people mobilized, but they need to see the big picture. They need to understand that there are people who have a different vision of America. They do not believe America is a sovereign nation. They want to merge us into this world government. The reason that they're not closing the borders is primarily because they want to destroy our sovereignty and join the United States with Mexico. The Council on Foreign Relations has certainly put out reports suggesting this, elimination of sovereignty. The Ford Foundation is funding so much of this, as, of course, are all so many of these other radical groups. And the corporations and people of great wealth work in concert because they hate American sovereignty. They want to destroy this country as we know it and merge us into this elitist system that where they will control all of our lives. Okay, anything else you wanted to talk about, Sharon?
That's it.
God bless. Thanks so much. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Chris Simcox. We're talking about the Minutemen group, a group of people, and sometimes you've got hundreds of people out at times, haven't you?
Yes. In fact, in October, we had over 3,500 volunteers that participated during the month of October along the southern border. We have another full 30-day operation coming up in April. That will begin April 1st, just the same as last year. We'll work in all four southern border states. This time, we hope to have over 6,000 volunteers. We may be able to cover up to 400 to 500 linear miles of that border for 30 days. And I think that'll send a clear message. And like your previous caller said, you know, what we need are chapters of Minutemen chapters in every congressional district across this nation, because that's where we make the most difference, is in our local communities, with our local governments, our state governments, and of course with our U.S. representatives on Capitol Hill. We need, that's where they feel the heat, because when they come home and they hear our frustration and our angst and they hear our message, they know that they must go back and work for us.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Terry, who's calling in here from Sun Valley. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Hi, Terry. How are you doing?
We're fine, Dr. Stan.
Have a question or comment.
Yeah, I was wondering, do you see any relationship between the sort of a one-world border idea and the spread of a sort of secular humanism, wherever there's no absolute truth, so maybe people think, well, there's no absolute borders as well?
Do you have a thought on that at all, Chris?
Well, certainly we see that, you know, the absolute truth is being distilled down to a one-world idea. Certainly, we seem to have two forms of thinking now. We have the Islam versus the Christian, and that's causing a great bit of friction, if I think that's what your caller is referring to. First thing we need to do is get rid of the UN and stop thinking about world courts and world law. We should stick to the one law that reigns supreme in our country. That's the law of the Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, our liberty, and our sovereignty, which of course is based on a Christian legacy in our country, and that's what we need to stand on.
And I agree with you totally. I would simply say, Terry, that you talk about humanism, and of course it's very easy to think about humanism and communism and socialism, which certainly Chris has been talking about, these atheistic philosophies that believe that man can create a perfect world. And, of course, this ties into the attitude of the Council on Foreign Relations. But what you really have to understand is behind all of these ideas, humanism, communism, socialism, internationalism, and globalism, are powerful spiritual forces. And the purpose of these secret organizations, and they date back thousands of years, has always been to create a one-world government. And this is coming to a culmination at this time. The head of the Iranian government today belongs to a secret society that wants to, of course, create a worldwide chaotic holocaust, and that has they're going to bring in the Mahdi. And if you want the documentation on that, we'll be glad to get some material. You can request it. But this whole thing, this whole idea of a world government, really has its foundation in the occult, beautifully covered in a book entitled Fire in the Minds of Men, written by James H. Billington, the Librarian of Congress, certainly no friend of patriotism, but a man who is a brilliant historian. And Fire in the Minds of Men gives you the whole background of the World Revolutionary Movement, which is funded not in communism and socialism. They are simply byproducts of the worldwide occult movement. So that is the most important thing I hope we can leave with you. Anything else, Terry?
He mentioned communism. Do you think that it's possible that China might try to take advantage of this situation, the porous borders of the United States?
Well, what are your thoughts on that, Chris? Is communism, are they bringing in Chinese communists into our country across our open borders?
Oh, China's going to no lengths, the great lengths, to woo Latin America over to their way of thinking. And we see, I was referring to that earlier in the interview, that you know, we see a rampant anti-American sentiment all throughout Latin America. We see that China, of course, first with gaining control of the Panama Canal and now flooding Latin America with cheap goods, has created havoc with the economies of Latin America. All part of joining in with the NAFTA agreements, which was supposed to improve the economic opportunities for their poor in their country, which has been devastatingly misguided and wrong. But yes, China is now wooing Latin America over to their side, to their way of thinking, and sooner or later we could see that affecting the borders of our country with, we see it already, with thousands of Chinese entering this country. We're not sure if they're refugees from China, or if they're here to create a change, as we've seen many people from Latin America coming in here to do, a political change.
And I think, Terry, you have to understand that there is a common brotherhood between the communists and the Islamic terrorists.
That's right.
And, of course, you say, well, why would this be a common hatred of America? But behind both communism and Islamic terrorism is this occult brotherhood. And believe me, the Muslim faith has its origin in the occult, as does both communism and socialism. And so once you understand that, it all begins to make sense. Have you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness?
I have it. I bought it and haven't read it. Sure enough.
Okay, God bless you. Anything else you'd like to ask before we let you go?
Well, thank you very much, Doctor.
Hey, thanks so much. Let's go to Jeanette calling from Watsonville. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Hey, Jeanette, I haven't heard from you in a long time.
Oh, I know.
sorry, but I'm listening.
Okay, fine. Any question?
No, actually, I want to make a comment on something I heard earlier, because I keep hearing about how immigrants are taking over, are taking jobs that Americans won't take, and the illegal immigrants are. I remember back in the 60s and previous, in the farming industry at least, there were a lot of Americans working, let's say, out in the fields. And in the 60s, when the UFW came in, all of a sudden, there weren't white people working out in the fields or Americans, because I remember in high school, a lot of boys were working on the fields for money for college. And a friend of mine bought a house from the money he saved from working out in the fields, and then Mexicans would send their money home to their families. Then that changed in the 60s, along with a lot of other things. And nowadays, probably young people won't want to work in the fields because that's not how they were raised. So I wanted to make that comment, and I think it's very interesting that all of a sudden that there's, when the UFW came in, seemingly, it seemed like that's when things changed. At least in the farming. I don't know about other industries.
All right, fine. Anything else you'd like to, do you want to comment on that at all, Jim?
Yes, you know, it's clear that things changed in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, with the Vietnam War, with so many of our young, strong young men being sent off to war and losing almost an entire generation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have African Americans who are being pushed out of jobs that they worked so hard to get, to, of course, through the years, and being undercut by cheap labor. Illegal aliens coming in and creating an unfair playing ground and a playing field in that sense. But, of course, and then I think the other devastating effect to our workforce in this country are the 30 to 40 million potential workers who were extinguished through abortion in this country and through the 60s and 70s when Roe versus Wade created a cheap way to abort babies, cheap birth control.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if we had those 40 million U.S. citizens alive today, we probably would not be allowing illegal immigrants to flood across our borders, because there would be Americans to take those jobs.
Good point. Anything else, Jeanette?
Yeah, on the other hand, we have high schoolers today who, if we had kept things as they were before the 60s, they could be out in the summer working instead of hanging around on street corners and things like that, too.
Right.
And working for less money, actually, in burger, at least little burger bins. So,
okay.
You know, but I agree with you about Americans losing jobs because of the illegals coming over. That's very true.
Amen. Thanks very much, Jeanette.
Okay.
Good night. God bless. And let's go to Roger, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Roger.
Yes, thanks. Just a comment to bounce off you regarding the sales pitch for our side. Is that instead of import, now we could have, the sales pitch from the enemy side has been the expanding markets of the Mexican citizens, which is a big fat lie, but that would be possible if we would, instead of importing the workers, we export a hatred for corruption, for corrupt governments, and a hatred for the socialisms, albeit tiny as they are in Mexico, under which the governments keep their check on the people, yes?
Yeah, that's... do you have any thought on that, Jim?
Yes, this is certainly a clear issue that we, you know, I don't know about hatred, but certainly, you know, we have two governments, one blatantly corrupt and in no control of the corruption in this country, and another one with the United States, who seem to be more, I don't know, nicer, or the corruption is just more palatable in that sense. But yeah, we have two governments who are corrupt, who are exploiting people on both sides of the border. The lower class American citizen has been pushed out of jobs because for pennies on the dollar, illegal immigrants will come into this country and take those jobs. And you know, it's interesting. Mexico, the government of Mexico just admitted that actually, most of their people are not leaving Mexico to come here because they're dirt poor or because they can't feed their families. It's because the quality of life here is still just better when you talk about the creature comforts, when you talk about you know, better apartments and digital cable television, and that America gives away so much for free. And that's why most of the workers who could support their families in Mexico come here just because they can get a little bit more because we're so generous.
And Trish, I remember when we had Mexicans coming up here to get, when I was practicing orthopedics, coming into our county hospital to get free the medical care because they'd have to pay for it in Mexico, but they got it here for nothing. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Roger, and we're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program. Our guest has been Chris Simcox. Chris, one more time, your telephone number, your website.
MinutemanHQ.com. Give us a call at 520-457-2320.
One more time, the telephone number.
520-457-2320.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, Chris, it's been a fascinating hour, and I really appreciate you being on with us, and I'd like to get you on some of our other programs as well. So anyway, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program tonight. What a message would you like to leave with our listeners out across America, indeed all across the world?
We need activism. We need citizen activism at this point. We've tried everything, but it's time to become more aggressive. We need Minuteman Civil Defense Corps chapters in every congressional district around this country. We need to hold their feet to the fire at home. We need to continue to work with our local municipalities to give the authority to law enforcement and the power to law enforcement to begin enforcing the laws in absence of the federal government. Not doing that, as the federal government is guilty of its dereliction of duty. And we need to reinstate the value of American citizenship and the value of our rule of law. That's what holds us together. It's our social contract in this country. But more than anything, we need support on that border. We need support for Border Patrol. They need our help. And of course, it's a two-pronged effort. Come to the border, protect the United States of America. Sitting in a lawn chair sends a strong message to Washington, D.C. And showing up at town hall meetings, calling your senators every day and your congressmen and letting them know that your number one concern is national security and public safety. When we secure our borders, illegal immigration ceases to be a problem. We stop the criminals, we stop the drug dealers, we protect Americans, and then we enforce an orderly queue of immigration through ports of entry. We force people to come by our rules. That's showing respect to U.S. citizens, and it shows respect to immigrants who want to come here, and then they have the equal protection under the law that we guarantee all immigrants. Right now, the United States of America is involved in slave trade and exploitation of human beings, and that's not what our creed stands for.
Amen to that. And of course, Wolf, we really need an addition. We have to get congressmen, and so try to get people to run for political office, those who do the right thing, back them. And it's so important that we get the federal government to enforce the federal laws. If they were enforcing the federal laws against employment of illegal aliens by our major corporations, this would not be a problem. And but, of course, you know, we can guard our borders all we want to. They're going to find a way in, although I think what Chris is doing is absolutely essential. What we knew, once the federal government enforced the laws, they're not going to come because there are not going to be any jobs for them. And so, Chris, thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you. It's my honor and my pleasure. I look forward to speaking to you again and your audience.
Good night. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Chris Simcox, and certainly we're going to try to get him on to our other programs in the very, very near future, and I think it's so vitally important that we let the American people understand we're being betrayed by our leaders who have a different agenda. Now, first of all, we have a wonderful four-tape set on immigration. We've recommended to you, if you'd like, of course, to get copies of this evening's program. Remember, they're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Then I want to tell you about a DVD I watched Sunday evening. It was put together by our good friend Chris Pinto. with the help of David Bay, who put the money up to make this. And it is one of the most important DVDs I've ever seen. I will have to admit I do have a small part in it, but it is simply because this DVD, 3 hours, one of the most dramatic portrayals of what's really going on today. You cannot understand anything that is happening unless you understand the spirits of battle, unless you understand the esoteric societies and their age-old plan to use America, our financial and military power, to bring about a world government. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are secret societies. You'll see pictures of the Rosicrucian Temple in San Jose. You'll actually see interviews with people from the Mandy P. Hall's organization. You'll read about Mandy P. Hall's writing. He was a Satanist. And he lays out the whole idea that for thousands of years, there's been a plan to bring about a world government, which is exactly what our leaders are advocating today, and that's exactly what the president of Iran is advocating, and leaders throughout the world. This DVD, it's entitled The Secret History of America's Beginning, The New Atlantis. The Secret History of America's Beginning, The New Atlantis. It's almost 3 hours. It's the most dramatic DVD that I've seen our side put out, using music and using all sorts of wonderful shots and dramatic portrayals that tell you the story that you're never going to learn in your schools. So if you'd be interested in learning more about this, or our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. The video of The Secret History of America's Beginning, The New Atlantis. What is the New Atlantis? It was a plan that was laid out by a man who died in 1626. His name was Francis Bacon. And yet, so much of what's going on in America today and throughout the world and the war in the Middle East is all part of an age-old plan. Understand that everything is scripted. The war with Afghanistan had nothing to do with Osama bin Laden. It had to do with plunging America into a war in the Middle East. And why did we stop trying to get Osama bin Laden and then go to war with Iraq? Because it's a stepping stone to the war with Iran and with Syria and of course, antagonizing the whole Muslim world and plunging us into World War III. We are in terrible straits today, and you want to get our material, call us at 1-800-544-8927, and then pray for America. Pray for revival, because if our country doesn't turn back to God, God is going to bring his vengeance on this country. And then pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.